Hey there, it's Derry from Honeymoon Suite, people, and you are watching CMS TV.
Aiken Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken, and today on the show, we're gonna relive one of my, high school days, I guess. I loved this band from way, way back when I was like 14, 15 years old, and I'm significantly older than that now, but I'm thrilled to have these guys on. They have a brand new release called Alive, which is maybe as good as the original stuff that people remember, and here to talk all about it is the guitar player of the band Honeymoon Suite, Mr. Derry Guerin. Derry, how are you, man?
What's up, man? Good to see you this morning. How are you?
It's good to see you too, man, and I'm good, and I'm going to tell you a quick story just because I want to see if you remember this or not, and I've been looking online even, and I can't find this. So Derry, back in 1984, I saw Honeymoon Suite for the very first time ever. You guys were playing a WMMS Appreciation Day show with, I swear it was Starship. I could be wrong on that. I can't remember it. I'm not one of those ticket guys that holds their ticket stubs. But it was a free show. It was the only time I ever got to see the band. Do you remember this show at all?
I remember WMMS in Cleveland. What a great station. We came through Cleveland a whole bunch of times, and I remember playing with Starship, and our drummer Dave remembers everything like this, but I'm sure that we did. What was the venue? Do you remember?
Cleveland Music Hall, I think.
It was just all a blur then, but I sort of remember it. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool, man. I know I was looking online and I kept finding other shows that I know you played, but I had moved out of Cleveland by then. So I hadn't seen them, like with 38 Special when you played Blossom Music Center and places like that, but I couldn't find this show. It's not recorded anywhere. And I was just curious if you remembered it at all, but.
Well, we did a lot of stuff with radio then, cause it was so important, and MMS, we got to know, those people really well. Right, so on. I'm sure we did it, and I'm sure we had fun.
Absolutely, man. Well, dude, you guys sound like you're having fun now. You have this brand new release called Alive. I might say it's the best thing that you guys have done since maybe Racing After Midnight. It's a great record, a lot of energy. Not that the other stuff didn't have it, but it just has that fun energy that you guys are best known for. So tell us a little bit about this record, how it came to be, and how we are to where we are today.
Well, thank you for that. And I agree with you in the fact that it's the first one we put out in a while that has really kind of bigger, slicker production, great producer, great songs. And it's really a step up, finally, that we can get back to sounding, putting out something that's kind of you know, can compete out there, because our previous releases, they were lower budget and, you know, we did the best that we could. They're great for what they were, but this one here is a step up, I think. And how did it come about? Well, I think the last album we did was Clifton, Hands Up.
Yeah.
Hands Up, maybe 6 or 8 years ago. So it was definitely time. So Johnny and I started talking about doing another album. You know, we just feel it when we're always writing and we come up with a few key songs, and it's like, you know, I think it's time to maybe start thinking about another album. So I had heard of a guy named Mike Crumpus, who's a Toronto guy, actually a Canadian, but he was living in Nashville, and he was producing a lot of stuff that I liked, and I just reached out to him. Turns out he's a real Honeymoon Suite fan. He's actually a great guitar player. He grew up learning my riffs, which is really crazy. So he jumped at the opportunity, because he just started a label down there, and he said, just come down and we'll bang some ideas out and see if we can go somewhere. So that's where it started. John and I went to his studio in Nashville, started writing some ideas, and it seemed right from the get-go that this Mike, you know, he gets us, and that's so key with a producer. But Mike is also knows what to do production-wise to capture Honeymoon Suite, to get the right songs, but also don't make us sound dated.
Sure.
So I think you got all those great elements, but they, you know, it's cooler. Not, you know, more modern production, but not where it alienates what, you know, Honeymoon Suite sounds like.
Sure. And that's one of the things I would say that you specifically as the guitar player have captured with this record. It definitely sounds fresh, and yet at the same time, it sounds like Honeymoon Suite. And that's difficult to do over, you know, 40 years of career without just straight copying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps it fresh for you and exciting for you as a player?
Well, you know, I still get up every day, and about the first thing I do after coffee is I grab a guitar and I play. It's probably the last thing I do at night. It's such an addiction for me. It never goes away, no matter how old I get. So I'm inspired just to pick up the guitar and play every day. I'm always writing stuff. And, you know, just there's so much. I love YouTubing online.
Okay.
And there's all these great players all have stuff out there, there's isolated tracks. So for me, I get stale with, sometimes I get in ruts or I get stale with my own playing. So I just have to get on YouTube and start, you know, digging some Van Halen or listening to some Nuno or Joe Bonamassa.
Sure.
Just, it's inspiring, grabbing some of their licks, seeing what they're doing, trying to incorporate that into my playing. Anyway, that's a guitar player thing, but there's no shortage of inspiration that's out there if you hit a wall in your playing. But also Mike is a producer, but he's also an amazing like shredder guitar player.
Sure.
I mean, he can play circles around me, but it's good because he's got a whole whack of guitars and amps and plugins. So I think we got amazing guitar sounds in this record. So me and him got along great. It kind of reminds me of like when we did the big prize and Bob Rock was engineering, and Bob had all his guitars and stuff in the studio. So we got along famously, and that helped get great guitar sounds.
Right on. Are you comfortable with having another, it sounds like you are, but are you comfortable with having another person to help guide not only you, but the band in general, to help guide you toward, you know, a unified goal of making a Honeymoon Suite record that sounds like Honeymoon Suite? Or do you guys really have to kind of take the lead and push the producer to follow your lead?
I don't know. I think it's when you find the right producer, I think it's a team effort. And I think that I like to have that outside opinion, because if Johnny and I are left to our own devices, you know, we're so different. We have different ideas on things. But if you get that third person there to kind of sort things out, I've always liked having the right producer. I think it takes the songs to another level.
Right on, man. Well, Derry, you know, you guys are obviously on Frontiers Records for this one, and you guys have had several labels over the the course of the, as every band that's been around for, you know, 40 years has had different labels. And the business has changed so greatly from when you guys started. I mean, it's completely different animal. How now do you assess a label? How did you assess Frontiers and figure out what they can do for you versus what you could do for yourself to get yourselves out there?
Well, we've worked with Frontiers on and off over the last 10, 15 years with other releases. So if you look at what they do in their roster, they're tailored to our genre of music. So they know what to do with the classic rock and the metal and the pop metal, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So we had a good relationship with them. And these days, Honeymoon Suite is not going to go to Warner Brothers or Sony and, you know, and get a major record deal. It just doesn't happen in this day and age. So we have to, you know, take an end run and come in the back door some way and either do the record ourselves and try and find a distributor in that, which we've done in the past. But I much prefer having a real record label to do things and help us out at like a team. So that's why we chose Frontiers. That's one of the people, first people I sent the album to, and they listened to it and they jumped right on it. And we had a couple of other smaller labels that were wanting to do it. But looking at everything Frontiers was offering and how we could partner with them, they're doing a great, you know, it's a good move. They're doing a great job so far.
Absolutely. Now, Derry, looking at, again, at more history stuff, and we will get to the record, I promise, but I always have wondered why Canadian bands have universally had such a hard time breaking into the U.S. market. And I mean, sure, there are big ones. You know, there's the Bryan Adamses of the world or, you know, that have had big success. But there's so many bands that were great across the spectrum of rock and metal. You guys, Aldo Nova, Annihilator. I mean, we could go on and on of Canadian bands that were great, but just couldn't get all the way over. Why do you think that is? It's not like you guys were like from Brazil or Africa or somewhere that was far. And, you know, and again, I'm just speaking for myself. I've always thought that for a lot of outside of the U.S. bands, it was the language thing, which never made sense with Canada because you guys speak the same language and sound American in most circumstances. So what do you think it has always been that has caused Canadian bands so much struggle to break the American market?
I don't know. We have to try a lot harder because we're up against this monstrous market called the United States. And to break that, I mean, that's the brass ring, you know, I mean, to break in the US. I think we've had a lot of success in the States, not as much as I would want, but you're competing with Bon Jovi and Night Ranger and, you know, all these huge bands, Rat, Motley Crue, at, you know, in our era. And it's pretty big competition. So we just put out the best record we can. We were on Warner Brothers down there for a while. We did a lot of touring. Who knows why it doesn't happen. I think, you know, if you have that freaky song, that song like a Living on a Prayer type song that just breaks it wide open for you, have a top 10 in Billboard, then boom, you're, you know, that's what would happen to Bryan Adams or Loverboy, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't get that top 10, but we certainly did. I'm proud of what we did, and who knows? I'm not bitter about it or anything. I'm just happy that we're still making music and being actually pretty successful still.
Right, absolutely. And you guys did have, you know, you did have hits. I mean, certainly you had hits that were on the radio, and you had movie soundtracks. Like, you had all the pieces, and it was like, where's that one last step that nobody seemed to give you? And it's such a weird thing when you really look at like your career, like you mentioned Rat, I'll use them as a great band. You know, my co-host plays with Stephen Piercy. So I certainly am a fan, but you guys had kind of at that time, a very similar path with, you know, hit records, hit songs, movie soundtracks, all the pieces. And it's just so bizarre that somewhere, some way, somebody, whether it was the fans or the record company or somebody, didn't take that final step. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the transition from a club act or a theater act to an arena act. And who knows? I think that we were after the big prize and we were on that upward, trajectory. I don't think that the racing was a great record, but it didn't have that breakthrough single, that huge single, for whatever reason. I tried my best, and I'm not going to blame the label or anything else, but that's just the way things worked out.
Well, I'll argue with you all day on that, because Racing is my favorite record that you've ever done.
Thank you. Mine too. Who knows, man? It's a wacky business.
It is. And Love Fever is the best song that you've ever done, and your riff is amazing in that.
Right on. So good.
So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of that record.
Okay, cool.
I'm also a huge fan of this new one, Caught Alive. I tell you what we're going to do, Derry. We're going to take a little break right now, and we're going to give people a taste of the title track from Alive. What can you tell us about this song and about this video?
The song was from when I first started it. It's funny how it morphed into what it became. You know, I started writing it in Nashville years ago with another, well, it was just myself. It was an original, almost kind of like country-ish idea. But then when we presented it to Mike, he had a way of turning it around and making a modern song, and he would pick up a guitar and play some really cool parts, because this whole album was written by myself, Johnny, and Mike. We just went three ways on it, and Mike's a good writer, so we're all invested. So we had the verse, kind of Mike really helped with that, and we had the chorus. It was kind of written in bits and pieces, some in Nashville, some in England. But in the end, it was just a lot of work. And, I think the first lyric I had was, you know, got a lot of things going on in my head, you know, da 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 da. That's where it started. And we just woodshedded it from there and came up with this great chorus. And it's uplifting and it rocks. So does that answer your question? I don't know. It came out to be a great song. You asked me, the other part was about the video.
Yeah.
Yes. So what was cool about that is we went back to Niagara Falls, where Johnny and I are from, Niagara Falls, Ontario, to shoot the video.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you remember, on the first album, the Burning in Love video was shot in Niagara Falls. So it was kind of crazy to go back and revisit that in the same location, you know, right by the water there, and shoot a video as kind of a nod back to our roots. So that's what I wanted to say about the video. It's most of it shot in Niagara Falls, like just walking around with a film crew and doing that and watching people kind of look at us funny and stuff. But it was a blast to do it.
Absolutely. Well, let's check it out right now. It is Honeymoon Suite. It is live right here on Chris Aiken Presents. Nothing that to say can talk me out of you. I don't need a reason not to try. Cause you make me feel alive. We don't need to have everything. Spend our lives chasing time. Take what we got and follow me. Let it fall on us, cause this is hard. Right back here on Chris Aiken Presents, we are talking with Derry from the band Honeymoon Suite. New release, Caught Alive, out. Well, by the time you see this, it'll be out now. So, Derry, let's dig into the record a little bit. I always try to start with my favorite song on the record, because that's usually you guys either love this song or you're like, God, I can't believe you like this one. But my favorite tune on this is Not Afraid to Fall. Great song. It really kind of fits the entire, it's almost like if you put it in the center of the record, you could kind of build around the whole thing in my head. So tell me about that song, to you know, and what that song meant to you.
Well, that is a Johnny song.
Okay. I mean,
each one of us comes in. Each one is, you know, it's a Johnny idea or it's a Terry idea. It starts with one of us. But that is a perfect example of kind of Johnny's writing style, as opposed to me, where I'm coming in with living out loud and you know, give a lot. You know, I'm just riffing and going with the heavier stuff. Johnny comes in with that one, which is more kind of like U2-ish, you know, and really introspective. And it's a beautiful song. So I'll tell Johnny you said that, because you know, that was a special track. He'd been kind of working on that for a long time, and he brought it in, and we developed it into a really great track. And I'm glad you like it.
Absolutely. The other one that really stood out for me is Tell Me What You Want. It's very, I would say it's probably the most different song on the record.
Yeah.
It's very modern, contemporary feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that kind of on purpose, or is that just where you guys were going as you wrote that song? Or how did
that was one of the
formulate?
First ones. It's one of the first ones we wrote. You know, that's a little different for us. But if you look at any Honeymoon Suite album, it's full of a variety of styles. I think that's what I like about our band. You look at the first album, you've got New Girl Now and Burning in Love, but then you also got Wave Babies, you know, and Face to Face, completely different songs, but in the context of the album, they all fit together. They all sound like us. So I think this album does that as well. There's a bit of everything. Tell Me What You Want, I think Mike had a lot to do with that. You can hear it's very modern sounding, and he kind of wanted to put that kind of twist on it. Just let's try. It was one of those, let's try this kind of thing, you know, let's just try it. We might hate it now, but let's try it. So we did. And I think it's a different side, different sound for us. But I think some people might not like that, but just as many people are going to like it. So,
right. Absolutely. Well, how as a player and as somebody that has had success in the industry, I mean, you guys have had hits, you know, whether it's Love Changes Everything or Feel It Again or New Girl Now, Burning Love. I mean, you guys have had hits. How do you avoid chasing the next hit by, you know, recording something that sort of steals from that hit and continually invent something new that entertains yourself? You know, I guess I'm asking, how do you keep it fresh for you versus chasing the success?
I don't know. I try not to write another New Girl Now or another Bad Attitude. I've already done that, but I will borrow, I will be influenced by that as a starting place for some songs. But really, when I write, I don't know where they come from. I sit with my guitar and it's usually just a riff from practicing. A riff will pop out, or a top line melody, and I'll go with that. And if it's really good, if I think it's good, then the first thing I go is I realize I must be ripping somebody off. So not Honeymoon Suite, but some other artist. And sometimes I'll come up with a chorus. I'll play it for my daughter. She goes, "Dad, that's Coldplay," you know, and I, gosh, you know, damn, I knew it was too good. But other times I think it's unique enough, it's original enough that I could call it my own. I'm not ripping anybody off too badly. So I just want to make the best song that I can and the biggest, you know, the most melodic chorus. I tell you what, if I have an idea, I'll work on it, I'll leave it alone. If 2 days later it won't get out of my head, it keeps going through my head, then I know I've got a good melody.
Sure. Do you have a phone full of riffs like most guitar players?
I do. Voice memos, man. It's save the world. It's great.
I'm always curious on that. How do you even remember them? I'm sure you have 1,000 of them on your phone. How do you remember one from that one?
That's too stressful. I try and go through it every once in a while. I have, you know, 6 different memos of a song idea. And as I develop it, I delete them. Otherwise, it's just too overwhelming. But the greatest thing on voice memos now is they've got a search thing, which they didn't usually have.
Okay.
And what I'll do is, if I have a new idea, I won't call it Song 27 or Idea 42. I always name things. So that's how I find them. You know, I might call it Chop Spinach or something stupid, or, you know, the boot song. Something, if I'm on the road or where I am, I give it a silly label. So at least it's got a label on it. I know what it is.
Right on, man. Well, dude, you mentioned being on the road. I'm sure that new record, there's probably some touring plans
that are out there. What are your plans for 2024 to promote Alive? Are you guys going to be out on the road? Are you touring all over the place? Where are you going to be?
All of the above, man. This
excellent.
This is the time of year, January, February, when our agent is now starting to book up the summer, a lot of festivals, and putting everything in place for the spring and the summer. And we've already, that's just what we do every year. And it's getting, looking like it's going to be even better than last year. Yes, we'll go out and we'll do our thing. And the bonus is we've got a new album to promote, which is great. Sell at the, you know, sell at the shows. We're not going to go out and play the new album. Nobody wants to hear that, even though it's good. They want, you know, we'll do our, we'll put a new show together with all the hits, and we'll put maybe one or two of the new singles in there and make a really great show. And that's what we're going to
do. You like doing the festivals or no? Because I know some bands, they love it because there's tons of people. Other bands don't love it because it really restricts you to being compared to everybody else on the bill.
Hell no. Bigger the better, man. I hate clubs. No, I like the big stages and the big audiences. It just makes, you know, it energizes me, man. And for a guitar player, you can get up, you know, you got stacks of Marshalls behind you. That's where you get that sound. You can, you got to turn those babies up to get that tone. And in a festival, you can really, you know, rip it out.
Right on, man. Well, Derry, obviously there is a new record, Honeymoon Suite Alive. Where should we tell people to go online to keep up with you guys to buy the record? And I stress buy, don't just listen to it and stream it, but buy it and buy merch and tickets and all that stuff. Where should we tell people to go?
Well, you go to honeymoonsuiteband.com is our site with the dates on it. You'll also find it us on Instagram and Facebook. And of course the dates are on there with bands in town. So all the shows are out on the socials. Stuff's on Spotify. You can order the record through Frontiers, because Frontiers also has a has an office in America, in the States. But we are also putting it out in Canada ourselves. And you go to a site, I think it's called Merch in Motion.
Okay.
Merch in Motion, one word, .com. And that's where our web store is in Canada. And they'll have vinyl up there and CDs, and it can also be ordered from there as well.
Very cool, man. Well, dude, I figured what we would do is wrap this one up with the video for Find What You're Looking For, another great song from the record. Tell us about this one.
Find What You're Looking For. Oh, yeah, Find, right, the second single. We actually released that in Canada a couple of years ago, and it charted, which was amazing. Right. That didn't happen a long time. The video, Find What You're Looking For. Yeah, well, again, it was one of these videos during the time of COVID when you couldn't go out and do a proper video. So everybody was kind of shooting their stuff remotely at home and piecing it together. So it's interesting in that fact. And it was kind of cool to do that, you know. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just us singing and playing.
Well, let's check it out right now. It's Find What You're Looking For. It's Honeymoon Suite, new release called Alive. Go listen to it. Go buy it. And Derry, thanks so much for joining me here on Chris Aiken Presents.
Thank you. Good talking with you.
The Classic Metal Show now has all of our videos on Spotify. Simply look up and subscribe to the CMS Network on Spotify, and you'll get the audio and video podcasts each day from the Classic Metal Show. It's never been easier to listen to Mealy and Chris. So simply open Spotify, subscribe to the CMS Network, and enjoy the Classic Metal Show every single day. Hail and kill.